morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, April 5th, 2018. We have about 15 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, well, we've got some weather coming this weekend. You probably heard about the high wind watch in effect with winds gusting to 70 miles per hour on beaches and headlands. That means it's going to be blowing like mad out there at sea. There are going to be some pretty big seas in the forecast. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. And then we're going to talk about today being the anniversary of the 1972 Portland-Vancouver tornado that struck Vancouver and Portland on April 5th, 1972. And so we're going to talk about that. We have some experience with tornadoes on the coast. We'll talk a little bit about that, about the tornado that hit Manzanita in 2016, and about what's a waterspout. We'll talk about that, too. But let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have the Star Herdla as our one arriving vessel so far today, although that could change later on. She's arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington. She'll pass Astoria around maybe 3:30 p.m. That would put her in Vancouver by about maybe 9:30 tonight. In the Astoria anchorage, we have four vessels. They're all awaiting orders: the Happy Clipper, the Danusa, the Trudos Sun, the Agia Skepia. They could all be wheat ships, I think, but the Danusa has been sitting out there for quite a number of days, so perhaps she's undergoing some inspections or waiting for some information. It's also possible, we've had a lot of ships on the river, that some of these ships that are sitting there for a while are waiting for other ships to get out of the way and move out of berth so that they can get into them. That's one reason why a ship might be waiting for a while in our anchorages here. In the Rice Island anchorage, off a little bit off upriver from Astoria, just opposite Tongue Point on the Washington side of the river, we have the Georgis. She's awaiting orders along with the Star Mariella and the Bright Gemini. And they're all bulk carriers. Chances are, right now, we are having so many wheat ships on the river that I think the chances of them all being wheat-bearing vessels when they come downriver are pretty high right now. And our outbounders, the Belle Island, is leaving the port of Portland with potash on board. She'll leave there about 9:30. That would put her past Astoria outbounder at 3:30 p.m. The Kembuck Westport is probably a petroleum tanker heading out of the Vancouver anchorage around 11 a.m. today. That would put her past Astoria outbound around 5 p.m. The Mariana is leaving the port of Portland with soda ash on board. At about 12:30, maybe 6:30 p.m., she'll glide past the downtown waterfront in Astoria. So it takes about 6 hours to go from there, 6 to 8, depending on where the ship is located and how much traffic. If they're up the Willamette River a ways, that can add an extra hour or two to their transit. Ships move pretty slowly on the river. They have to sort of strike a balance between moving fast enough to maintain steerage in the current, especially downriver, and not going so fast that they create a wave that could damage things, vessels and people on the shore that are nearby, because the river is fairly narrow in places. The Orchid Express is heading out of Portland, could have petroleum on board there, refined petroleum, leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria maybe about 5 p.m., or 7 p.m. rather. The Friendly Seas is leaving Vancouver around 1 p.m., maybe passing Astoria around 7, and the Carmel is leaving Calama with wheat on board at about 3:30, so maybe 8:30 you might see her passing Astoria. And the Intuition is a bulk carrier heading out of the port of Vancouver with wheat on board at about 3:30 p.m., so maybe about 9:30 we'll see her passing Astoria outbound. And some of these ships, you can tell that they're passing and arriving around the same times, so there's a lot of planning that goes into this. Ships generally do not overtake one another on the river, so they space themselves out as they're heading downriver. They coordinate, and they keep a couple of miles between one ship and another, so if there is any problem, the ships have time to react to one another. And when ships are passing in the river, I saw two ships pass right off the Astoria waterfront a couple of weeks ago. And so they can only pass in certain areas where it's wide, where the river's going straight. You don't want to pass on a curve, and you don't want to pass in an area where the channel's narrow. So it's kind of carefully calculated as to where these ships are going to meet one another on the river. Let's just look at the marine weather forecast for a minute. We have on the Columbia River bar this morning seas 4 feet, but they're going to build to about 8 feet during those max ebb current times. We have one around 8:45 and another around 9:13 p.m. We could see seas around 10 feet high with breaking waves there during that time. So breaking surf across the mouth of the river. And you can see that sometimes if you go up on the Astoria Column, where you're up high and you can see the mouth of the river. If you go across the Astoria Migla Bridge and you look toward the sea, you can see like white in the distance across the mouth of the river. That is breaking surf on the bar during those ebb current times. Overall in our marine weather forecast, south winds 20 to 25 knots, gusting to 30 knots today, becoming 35 in the afternoon. We'll have combined seas 10 feet with a dominant period of about 8 seconds between waves and rain. And as we head on into the weekend, Saturday's forecast calls for gusts to 55 knots offshore. Combined seas 20 feet high with a dominant period of 11 seconds. So every 11 seconds, a wave as high as a two-story building goes by. Yikes. So it's going to be very windy and turbulent out there for vessels. Well, let's talk about this anniversary today of the 1972 Portland-Vancouver tornado. It was a deadly F3 tornado. What does that mean? The F3, that refers to the Fujita scale, F-U-J-I-T-A scale, of assessing tornado intensity. It goes from F0 to F5. And an F3 tornado, kind of in the middle, can have winds of 158 to 206 miles per hour. So a tornado this strong, as this one was, can cause severe damage. It can rip the roofs off buildings. It can throw vehicles around. So this struck Portland and Vancouver. The tornado carved a 9-mile path of destruction across the heavily populated Portland metropolitan area, leaving 6 people dead, over 300 injured, and causing $5 million in damage. It was the deadliest tornado in the United States in 1972 and remains the deadliest tornado in the history of the Pacific Northwest. It was the first F3 tornado to strike Oregon since June 3rd, 1894, and no tornadoes in Oregon or Washington have equaled its intensity since. The one that hit Manzanita in 2016 was an F2, 113 miles per hour to 157 miles per hour. Well, that's not very comforting either, but this one was a bit more intense. So tornadoes are associated with thunderstorms, and this one formed from a thunderstorm that was happening. It touched down. The strongest thunderstorm was tracked near the city of Tigard, and the tornado formed and touched down near the edge of the Columbia River. So it made landfall on the Washington side of the Columbia. The tornado continued its 9-mile, 14-kilometer journey before dissipating. In Portland, the tornado damaged 4 boat moorings and 50 small boats. Damage in Oregon from the tornado was pretty difficult. And in East Vancouver, the tornado struck at 12:51 p.m., where it destroyed a grocery store along with an elementary school, injuring 7 students, and a bowling alley, a drive-in theater, and damaged around 100 homes. So and some vehicles were flipped as well. So incredible power of the wind in a tornado in a very close, in a very small area, a path. So let's talk a little bit about something that we see on the coast, waterspouts. Waterspouts are essentially tornadoes over the water. What they tell you is if you're in a boat and you see a waterspout, you have a lot of latitude to move. You don't have to go on a road. Always move at a 90-degree angle to its apparent movement and never go closer to investigate. So when a waterspout comes on land, it turns into a tornado. That's what happened in 2016 in Manzanita. That was an F2 tornado. It kind of raced a path through the town and was really quite astonishing, cost $1 million in damage, and was again related to a thunderstorm that was happening at the time. So we keep a close watch on our thunderstorms here on the coast, but still, tornadoes are rare. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks, and have a great day.